Iowa everywhere.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In the market for a great deal? Shop careers at Fairway. From the meat department to the bakery to the store floor, we're hiring full-time, part-time, careers for a lifetime. Apply now. There's more in store for you at Fairway.
Spring is here. It's time to start thinking about family fun in the outdoors. This is Chris Williams promoting my good friends at Plaza RV in Bondurant. I've now bought two travel trailers from this locally owned company in the past 5 years. It's completely changed my family's life. We love spending time in the outdoors, tailgating, and most of all, being together. Camping has been an awesome escape for us, and I would encourage you to think about it as well. Head over to their lot in Bondurant. They have motorhomes, travel trailers, truck trailers, fifth wheels, and more. Check them out today at PlazaRV.com. They're 100% locally owned. Tell them that Chris Williams sent you.
Nate Bargatze, the Be Funny Tour.
I mean, Chuck E. Cheese is rough. I don't know if you've been there in a while. They look like they're trying to go to business and they can't.
All new material.
They filed for bankruptcy and they're still open. They called Blockbuster and they're like, how do you get out? We want out.
Nate Bargatze.
Saturday, May 18th, Wells Fargo Arena. Tickets available at HyVTix.com or the box office.
Don't miss Nate Bargatze, the Be Funny Tour.
Produced by Outback Presents.
Two guys, two Chris's, one network. Iowa everywhere. It's time for Two Guys with Chris Williams and Chris Hassel. Presented by Fairway Meat and Grocery from the Channel Seat Studios. Where? Everywhere. Live and always on demand at Iowa Everywhere.
Happy Thursday. Welcome to Two Guys here on Iowa Everywhere. My name is Williams.
No. Iowa everywhere.
So you know the guy who does our voiceover there? He's the voice of the Taylor Swift station on Sirius XM.
Is he really?
Yeah, he just got a big break.
Taylor Swift?
Yeah, what's going on there? Are you going to have him redo that? I mean, you can't mispronounce Iowa. That's the first name in the network.
Yeah, I think he's going to, but that's a production category.
Matt, someone told me he's Canadian. Chief. Canadians can't pronounce Iowa.
They pronounce things differently.
Iowa everywhere.
See, I have that deal because a lot of my racing friends are like from Wisconsin and Minnesota.
Yeah,
and I don't necessarily know if that's like a Canadian thing, but they pronounce everything different. Like it's like sometimes when I get up there and we're racing up in like like northern Wisconsin and stuff, it really is like a different language. It's kind of like when I go back to South Carolina and see all my mom's family. Like I don't even know what they're talking about half the time.
They're talking cocks is what they're talking
they're
about.
Just literally they sit around and they talk about cocks.
It is weird that you've got a state like Iowa that doesn't really have an accent unless you go out to the rural parts, and then it's just kind of one of those rural accents like your dad saying orange. But Iowa doesn't have an accent. Like Kansas City doesn't have an accent. But you've got Chicago, Wisconsin, Minnesota, the Dakotas. They do.
Back in the day, before our time in the industry, we'd have to ask like Keith about this. But
it's my dog.
I got a dog story for you. But like they wanted, it's so opposite from today, but they wanted just like people from Iowa because they didn't have access.
Yes. A lot of telemarketers were set up in like Omaha, Kansas City, just a lot of places where you talk to a national audience because that's Those are the people that don't have accents.
Yeah.
I would make the argument that central Iowans don't. Southern Iowans, it's like Western Iowans have a Southern draw, I think.
I feel like Chris is like
William's dad. I think your dad kind of has a little draw to him.
My cousins from like Arizona and stuff, they think that I have like a Southern accent. It's funny. Mm. They tell me that all the time.
But then people in like Mason City and north of there kind of get the Minnesotan.
Hmm.
So
you just like in Muscatine, if you're in the city, there's no accent. If you go outside the city at all, you all of a sudden you're talking like a redneck.
Welcome to Two Guys. We are presented, as always, by our friends at Fairway Meat and Grocery, where our friends at Fairway, they don't care what kind of accent you have. They just want you to buy their meat. And it's the time of year to do that, baby. I was out walking Dirks last night, saw like 5 people out there smoking some meat. Good quality Wednesday night in Bondu. We also give a shout out to all of our channel seedsmen who are in the fields planting, listening to this right now. God bless you. Thank you for feeding our country. The channel seedsmen are all out there right now spreading their seed.
It's been rough for me. I haven't had any Fairway meats lately. My wife is out of town this week working up in Connecticut. And so I have had, she made a ziti on Sunday.
A ziti?
Ziti.
So is that pasta? That's like pasta, right?
Yeah. I've had it for dinner each of the last 4 nights.
Why don't you just make something?
Because she made it for me for leftovers. But now that's gone. The roast beef she got me for lunch is gone.
My wife made me a meal.
What? Your wife doesn't make you meals?
I'm just kidding. But point taken, just fucking make some dinner. I'm going to start calling you Bloom.
Well, like tonight, I don't have anything, so I'm going to have to order it. I'm going to Uber Eats something.
Luke is in the comments. He's watching on YouTube. He says, God bless the channel seedsmen. They're sodomizing the soil.
This is not good. The dog is barking because the pool guy is here.
Oh, God. What is he here to clean your pool? You haven't got to clean your pool?
No. So he's putting in a different tile in one spot. He wasn't supposed to come until after the podcast. He was supposed to come at 10:30 Eastern. What does he do? Comes at 9:30 Eastern, and now we're screwed.
Do you need to tend to the pool boy for a minute?
No. I mean, there's nothing I can do.
It's like how a porno starts.
Tend to the pool boy. Hey, pool boy. Get over here.
Real quick, I'm going to tell this dog story since you're...
It's perfect with my dog screaming in the background.
My dog is... he's an 11-year-old golden retriever. Many of you have followed Dirks' escapades over the years. I used to talk about him on KXNO a lot. We are dog people. Everybody
we,
in this...
We being me and you and your family. Not Van Winks.
No, Van Winkle is not. Van Winkle just as soon be dead. So Dirks has cancer, and we've been treating it. We're not doing anything like crazy. Like it's just he's an 11-year-old golden retriever. He's going to die at some point. It sucks, but it's just the reality. And my wife is a veterinarian, so she's very up on his health. Like pays a lot of attention to it. It's just her nature. Well. So he's on like these meds basically to like keep him comfortable and to do all these things. But like towards the end of their life like this, like they'll often stop eating and it gets very stressful because you don't ever know like when is when. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a really stressful last couple of weeks because he has not eaten well at all. In fact, there was a show about 3 weeks ago where I couldn't even start it because I thought like, oh, this is it. He wouldn't eat a thing. And the next day, he shit out a giant sock, okay? And then he started eating again because it turns out when you don't have, like, giant socks in your intestines, you have more of an appetite. Who would have thought it? So it was, like, Saturday night, and Dirks was not eating. He, oftentimes when dogs are nauseous, they'll go out into they'll, like, eat grass. It's a weird thing that dogs do, but they eat grass when they're nauseous. And, like, we couldn't get him to come inside. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning and like, I shit you not, Chris. In the last 5 days, in the last 5 days, this dog has shit out 2 full washcloths and a tube sock in 5 days.
How is he getting his paws on all these things?
I don't know. Like, he does it when we're not looking, and he'll... These dogs, when they become elderly, they become like old people. Like, you know, they just become kind of a pain in the ass. It's like, I still love you, but man, he's eating. So the problem is, it's like, we don't ever know, this is the end. This is, you know, brace ourselves. Oh no, he just ate another washcloth somehow. Like, he'll just jump up and like grab him somewhere. We don't even know what's happening. It's the most maddening thing I've ever experienced with an animal.
That is wild.
And for this is the dog, when you go show up at your house, you take your shoes off and he'll just grab your shoes and walk away with them.
I had to pull
out.
And
then Matt immediately dials 911.
Animal control.
Emergency.
Stolen shoes.
Dog took my shoe. Come get him.
Last night, he's taking his, because right now he's living his best life. He's getting like 3-4 walks a day. Like, we're just babying him. And his turd was just like sticking out of his butt on the walk, and he couldn't get it to come out. So I take the poop bag and I reach up there, and I pulled the fucking tube sock right out of his ass.
Oh my God. Well, you gotta hide this stuff now. He's clearly gonna eat it every time he sees it.
Like, we're trying. We have a 4-year-old who she's not exactly the cleanest individual in the world. Yeah. Cole's asking, does he swallow? He swallows these things whole. That's the thing. It's not like he's over in the corner like chewing on them and we can go and get it. If he gets his mouth on fabric, he will swallow it.
My dog did that once with one of my sweatbands, and we were so worried that, because those things, if they get caught in your intestines, you got to have surgery.
Yeah, you got to have surgery. And he has had surgeries for that before. Yeah.
So we induced vomiting. Mm-hmm. I can't remember how we did it.
Peroxide?
Yeah, but I don't know how we got her to drink it.
Dogs are weird, man.
She puked it right up.
Our dog, I bet Dirks has been, we've induced vomiting on him over 100 times in his life. Well over 100 times.
Jesus. Amazing. Well, at least he still has an appetite for tube socks and washcloths.
He doesn't
want
to eat food, but he'll eat washcloths, though. It's incredible. It's been really stressful.
I bet.
Because you just don't know. It's like, is this, he's going to die tomorrow. Oh, no, wait a minute.
Here
Psych.
Comes the tube sock.
Psych. He's shitting out another sock. My God. Well, we got the NFL draft tonight. We've got Deacon Hill is in the transfer portal. The Cyclones, men's basketball, is loaded up on another transfer. Right now, they are the Bar Torvik number one team in the country heading into next year. So that's kind of fun. We got a lot to get to, starting with the draft, which I feel like we just really haven't spent a ton of time on the draft because of all the basketball stuff and then sneaking Deacon Hill. Like we've got Cooper DeJean tonight and a chance that TJ Tampa can sneak into the first round. What are you watching for tonight, Chris?
We did a mock draft yesterday on HQ. It was kind of a super mock. We had 7 different people making picks, like Pete Prisco, Danny Cannell, Bryant McFadden. Nobody picked DeJean in the first round.
Really?
Yeah.
That's surprising.
That really surprised me. He was the biggest eye-opener that didn't go. And sometimes when you have that many people doing a mock, sometimes, you know, that can happen. Somebody can slip through. I know BMAC is a former cornerback, and he really, really likes Cooper DeJean.
I love him.
But he didn't have an opportunity to take him. I don't think there's any chance he slips to the second round, but I did think that was interesting. I mean, the thing that I keep thinking about with him is that all these teams are asking him about Caitlin Clark. Did you see what came out yesterday?
Yeah, I did. I did see that.
And I think some people took that as that reporter just asked him that question. No, the reporter asked him, like, what's the most common thing you're being asked? And he said, well, one of the most common things is people are asking me if I could beat Caitlin Clark one-on-one. in basketball. And we know that Cooper DeJean was a fantastic high school basketball player. He was dunking on people, an incredible athlete. And so they asked him, can you beat her one-on-one? Yeah. He says, yeah.
I wouldn't say it's really weird, but a lot of teams have asked me if I could beat Caitlin Clark one-on-one. Just being from Iowa. I said, I think I can.
Bruh.
She probably scored a few buckets on me, but I think I could pull it off.
Wow.
Yeah,
it was that interview
with Yahoo. I think Yahoo did that weird edit. And then that turned into a whole thing. I think he would beat her one-on-one. He can dunk. She can't. He's more athletic, period.
Yeah, but she can do the crossover and fade away.
She would make threes.
But
look, this guy's – I guarantee you this guy's a lockdown defender on the basketball court.
What's the DRF points line on that? I don't know,
Van
man.
Winks, give me a point
spread. I think
spread.
It might be even money. I think I kind of like so. Caitlin.
No.
The step backs.
A line if DeJean would beat Caitlin or score
just
on her?
Just a money line. Who's the favorite?
What? Score on her. He would score every single time.
I think it'd be actually pretty close to even, yeah.
I think it'd be dead even.
I think he'd probably be able to be more physical, but she'd be able to shoot better.
Yeah, he's just bigger than she is.
She would absolutely shoot better. Okay? She's going to make more threes. You really think she can stop him?
Maybe. I don't know.
This would be what he does to her in the paint.
He's more athletic.
It's going to depend on the officiating.
Well, you know how one-on-one is. You officiate yourself. You got two Iowa kids going at it. They're not going to call many fouls.
This is kind of annoying to me.
Why?
Not our conversation, but it's just like that's what he's getting talked about, you know?
Well, look, these... Historically, I mean, guys have come out and said, yeah, they asked me if my mom's a whore. Like, those are the kind of questions that they ask.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, so this isn't that bad.
No, you're right. It's just, I don't know, you're right.
So, how many dudes has your mom slept with?
Well, and it's kind of a trick question for Cooper, because it's like,
right, it is.
Well,
that's what they want to do. They want to put you in a weird situation where you have
They want him to act like a competitor.
Yeah, he's a cornerback
without being a sexist.
You have to be, and he didn't say. I thought he answered that question right. He's like, I think I could do it.
Yeah,
he didn't say. What are you talking about? She's a girl. Of course, I can beat her.
Yeah, no.
Also didn't go the other way and say, well, she's the best basketball player in the world. Clearly, I can't beat her. I do think he would beat her one-on-one. I do. But I probably shouldn't even have brought it up. I'm going to get some haters.
So he said the teams were asking him about that, or like other media was asking him about that?
No, the teams.
Oh, okay. Yeah, these teams are... Didn't they make some sort of rule where you can't...
They did try to clean it up a couple of years ago, yeah.
You can't ask, is your dad on meth? Like, there's certain...
I think so. I think they did start trying to eliminate, like, you know, what kind of sex life did your dad have? Those kind of questions.
We hear your dad's into some kinky stuff. Have you ever found toys around?
We hear you're a ball hawk and your dad has a ball gag.
Well, I know TJ Tampa's parents. They're very nice people, so don't you dare say anything like that about Veronica.
Nick is asking, he says, Cooper DeJean is 22-1 to be a top 10 pick. Would you take that? I would not. I have not seen a single mock where he's been a top 10 pick. And, in fact, I don't think we might not get a defensive player taken until 8 or 9.
This is... really weird, too. I did a CW pod yesterday. It was like a 15-minute monologue, and I really dove into the Vikings and what I was thinking about them.
Yeah, I turned that on yesterday on my ride home from work.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'll listen to the CW podcast on my ride home. And you did one segment on Deacon Hill. It lasted like 45 seconds. And you're like, all right, now we're a third of the way through the show. Let's move on
to
the Vikings.
No, I knew I had three things I wanted to get off my chest. And I just knocked them out. The podcast did very well. People like the short, quick hitters that you don't have 45 minutes For real.
I was very disappointed. I thought I was going to get at least like 10 minutes on Deacon Hill, and I didn't.
Well, I knew that. I also knew that we would do Deacon Hill today.
I know.
And I was kind of punting it off to that. Now, real quick, TJ Tampa,
I have not seen him in the first round in many mocks.
No, but what's interesting is all the analysts, like all of them, are saying the same thing about him, that he's undervalued, that he's a first-round talent, that he'll probably go in the second round. So, I mean, he's got the length, he's got the size. I think he's a 10-year pro at corner in the NFL. So it'll be, just from an Iowa State standpoint, like we didn't really think Will McDonald would go in the first round last year either. He thought it was kind of fringe, and he popped up at 15 to the Jets and kind of surprised us all.
Tough first year for Will McDonald.
Yeah, and it turned out to not be a great fit. I mean, they were loaded at D-line, and he didn't really, you know, sneak up into there very much. So we'll see. But that's the storyline there for Iowa State. Let's get to Deacon Hill in the portal. I think that's more interesting than Iowa State, Kansas State, and Ireland. We will tackle that today. Boy, quite the turn of events for us when you consider Monday's conversation, Chris, to big Deke energy. I am going to have to get some of those swim trunks before they go out.
Yeah, does he still have those up on his site?
Actually, I'm kind of hoping wherever his new school is that he'll have the big Deke energy swim trunks that I can buy, because I really don't want to wear anything associated with Iowa. But it would be nice to have the Deacon Hill ones, right? You know what
I'm
saying?
Where do you think he would end up? Like, where is Deacon Hill going to have to go to?
FCS?
Yeah.
I mean, D3? D3?
Jesus. Come on.
I'm serious.
D3?
Hassel. He's not accurate. He turns the football over.
True.
He can't run.
True.
He, a bad decision maker.
So you think he's going to end up at like Coe College, maybe? Yeah,
maybe
I mean,
as a backup.
I could see him at St. Ambrose.
I'm serious. He's not a Division I FBS quarterback. Like, he's just not. We knew that the day we saw him. Who the hell in late April is sitting on a scholarship like? Yeah, you're right. If anything, it would have to be like a MAC team that they don't do anything extravagant on offense, and you just hand the ball off. But that's what he was doing last year.
Yeah, I don't think he could. I mean, can you? You could not promise this guy a starting job if you're in the MAC, can you? I mean, you have to be down really bad, really bad.
This guy would not start at really good FCS schools. He wouldn't. Like, he wouldn't start at Northern Iowa.
Right.
He wouldn't. No. There's no way Mark Farley would play him. And this was the problem with Iowa the last year. When you're looking at all the, like, Labus and Linus and all the, this guy's not a Division I FBS quarterback. He's just not. And some of those FCS teams have better players than the D1 guys. So, like, no, I don't think he ends up. This isn't like Petras, where he's going to go to Utah State, and maybe I'll get proven wrong here. I mean, I very well could. But at least Petras, that was the time where these schools had all these roster spots to fill. Right now, you're looking at a bunch of schools, they're like, well, we have two needs. They're not going to burn a scholarship on this guy.
What do you think about the way Iowa handled it this spring?
So, you know, I see both sides, but I'm reading like the insider stuff, and they're all acting like, you know, oh, this was a foregone conclusion that Deacon Hill was going to leave, is what it like seems like. And I am certainly not an Iowa insider, so not claiming to be.
And if that's the case,
then I don't understand taking the snaps.
Okay, right. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, well, the other side of this real quick, and then I'm going to tee it up for you.
Sure.
The other side of this was that Marco is like, he just checks down too much and he runs too much and it's not getting reps for the receivers and line and all this stuff, and that they were using Deacon, who, again, like, to me, that argument falls short only because it's like that guy's not doing the right thing either. Like, this is not, like, if you know he's not good enough, why wouldn't you want more first team for the guys who are going to be on campus? So I think I'm with you there. But the other argument, just to be fair, is that Deacon Hill is giving better reps to everybody else on the offense because of his decision making, right? Did I get that right?
If that's the case, okay, if Deacon Hill has been a better decision maker and has been running that offense better than Marco Lines, what the hell have you been doing with Marco Lines? Like, if Deacon Hill was doing it better, what, has he been there longer than Marco Lines? No.
Oh, yeah. Good point. I didn't go that deep. Yeah, I like that.
So what? I just, how can Marco Lines be that underdeveloped compared to Deacon Hill? And why is he get? Look, I get it. I get what they're saying. I understand. I heard what they're saying. That, well, Marco Lines was working with the twos and the threes. He was getting more reps than Deacon Hill, but we wanted Deacon Hill out there because he can run the off. How is Deacon Hill that much more advanced than Marco Lines? And why is Marco Lines still in the program if that's the case?
I don't disagree.
This is spring ball.
Yeah.
This is not like you're not out there playing a Big Ten football game. He's really getting that rattled in practice?
I guess the other thing that I would be critical of here, and now they did have a coordinator switch, so like they took too long to hire the coordinator.
That's one of the biggest problems here. This all could have been different if Kirk Ferentz would have moved quicker on an offensive coordinator.
Oh, but the bowl game.
Jesus. Because of the way they moved, the slow pace they moved, they missed out on the winter transfer portal where that's where
problem.
You go get your guy.
So they should have made
it. Go get your Cade McNamara backup who could be a starter.
Because you knew Brian was out. Beth Getz was making you fire him or whoever mm-hmm. was. They should have had an offensive coordinator ready the day that regular season was over. You get into the portal and you go quarterback shopping. Period. Instead, mm-hmm. they waited out, and now you're at a point where, I mean, the best case scenario now is that whoever you're bringing in is going to be there on June 1st. And I would make the point I made yesterday on the CW pod was that you do not bring in anybody to back up Cade McNamara. You bring in somebody to compete with Cade McNamara. You cannot trust Cade McNamara's injury. And frankly, I don't even know, like, even when he played last year, he was having the same problems. Now, I know he was never 100% because he got hurt during fall camp. So that
but
I give him the benefit of doubt.
That feels like it's going to be the same thing going into this season. Like,
I would
you
agree.
Really think Cade McNamara week one is going to look better than he did week one last year? I don't have faith that he will.
Unless this, again, like I would go back to it, that I'm more of a believer in scheme than I am players in a lot of scenarios. And like the offensive line, like, I mean, everybody knew what was coming. And I would make the same point for if you're the quarterback. I mean, I've had actual Division I players, some who have played for Iowa, who have told me tells to look for with their offense. That guy goes in motion. This is what, like, everybody knew. So if this coordinator is much better, and I don't know anything about Tim Lester other than the stuff I've read that Chad and Doc have written. I mean, it can't be worse. So it should make everybody better. It's just the other aspect to me that I read was that Tim Lester and like Deacon Hill or Ferentz or whoever, they made like some sort of deal that they would give Deacon Hill the spring to see if he could prove himself. The fuck have you guys been paying attention to? Like, if I'm Tim Lester, the first thing I do in there is say, Kirk Ferentz, this guy can't play quarterback in the
100%.
Big Ten. Like, I know that your son sucked at calling plays. The scheme was terrible. I've watched enough. He's just fumbling. He has no accuracy. This guy can't play quarterback in the. What did you need to watch in the spring?
Right. Exactly.
You're just exactly. screwing around here. Like, what are we doing? Everybody knew it.
If this was the plan all along, that Deacon Hill's going to go into the portal in the spring after the spring game, Why was he still on the roster?
So again, like it's hard to bring a quarterback in, Chris, in December, and have him be like brand new offense. Like none of these guys they're going to get.
We saw that with Cade McNamara last year.
Yeah, none of these guys they're going to get in June are truly going to be ready. I mean, you hope that you can get them acclimated, and maybe they play more backyard football this year. Not
backyard football. This is why you need a guy with experience. Like if they can get the Northwestern kid who has Big Ten starting experience.
And Sullivan's his name.
Now, I do think they're going to have to pay this whoever it is. If it's a legitimate person like Sullivan is, a Big Ten starter, you're going to have to pay them.
He's kind of a Big Ten starter. I mean, he started because of injury.
I know.
But there is a gray area there.
And he's performed better than Deacon Hill.
I mean, I think that he would be right there beside Cade McNamara as the or on the depth chart.
I'm with you. I would like to see an actual competition. When Cade McNamara supposedly gets healthy this summer, I want them to say, look, kid, we're bringing you in not just to back up Cade, but we're going to give you a chance. Like, if you outperform him, it's going to be you. I don't think for one second that's going to be the case. We know how Kirk Ferentz is with quarterbacks.
It feels like McNamara has just been knighted and he's the guy.
Yes. And they've paid him all this money.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to be getting somebody in there and they're going to just have to tell him, look, you're going to back up Cade, but he's injury prone.
That makes recruiting harder, though.
It does.
Like, if you're Brendan Sullivan, and it's like, I can go there and be K. McNamara's backup, or I could go to Bowling Green and start. Like, I don't even know
that he would have to go that low to start.
Yeah, I don't know. I just
maybe
threw out
this
a
late in the
school,
game he would, but like somebody like that goes into the portal. That's what raised a lot of eyebrows. Is that it happened right at the same time Deacon Hill went in,
and there's a connection to Lester.
Yes, Lester recruited him when he was the head coach at Western Michigan. Was it Western Michigan he was at? So Lester clearly likes the kid. He goes into the portal the same time as Deacon Hill does. Like if you're the Sullivan kid, you don't go into the portal at that point unless you have a pretty good idea where you can end up and that it's going to be a better situation than you were already in. So I hope that it's somebody like that or a Colin Schley. I just don't know how you get a guy, a veteran who started big time games, who's almost out of eligibility to come when nothing's promised to you.
It's hard. And I mean, there's nothing proven about Iowa's offense either. It's like you had a good point in our rundown. You go, does this mean that Tim Lester has some power? Is that, do you believe that? Like this, because it was always kind of a figurehead thing.
I think Brian Ferentz. If Iowa did nudge him into the portal, that right there tells me that Tim Lester has more power than I thought he would have. Because under the previous regimes with the Ferentzes, I don't think there's any way they nudge Deacon Hill into the portal. I really don't. This to me seems like Lester said, "Look, we can't do it with this guy," and he had to convince Kirk Ferentz to allow it, and that would tell me that he has more power than I thought he would. Now, what is that going to mean come September and October? Is Kirk Ferentz really going to give him the reins during the actual season?
Again, a lot of this though is like self-fulfilling prophecy because now they're going to get somebody. Let's say worst case scenario, it's Marco and it's McNamara and they're 1 and 2. And then we're going to hear all fall about how, well, Marco just doesn't have the experience. He hasn't taken enough snaps with the ones, even though they played Deacon Hill. You know what I mean? Like we've seen this like at different levels throughout the last couple of years where you're right. Like Kirk just gets so locked in and trusting these guys. And props to them if they ran him out. Like, because that's exactly what I asked for on Monday's show. I said, you have to evolve or you will die. and keeping this guy, you like, it's not gonna work.
It's bad for everybody.
And it sucks for him.
Including Deacon Hill.
Yeah, like, go somewhere where you can actually be like a player. Like, you can go play at a lower level. It's not, you know, you're not gonna be in the NFL. Like, it's fine. Go and have fun. Get your college paid for. And enjoy your college experience, and don't just take shit from people like us all the time. Like, go. You don't belong at this level. You were given the opportunity. You swung for the fences. You were gracious the whole time.
How do you think Budimeyer feels about this?
Oh God. Wonder what he's got up his sleeve. No, but no. Think about it though. Like this. Do you think this Lester is leaning on Budimeyer? Hey, what do you think, John?
He can't be. Because Budimeyer was the guy that brought Deacon Hill in.
Wasn't
that
even
was his
on
baby. That was his passion
staff.
Project.
I'll never forget that offseason. When they brought him in as the volunteer assistant. I brought that up on the show every day to Ross Peterson. Like, well, you did get the guy from Wisconsin. The volunteer quarterbacks coach. Because the whole story like the year before was how all the offenses at Iowa and Wisconsin just suck so much. And it's like, yeah, let's go to those guys.
Jesus. But look, this is all.
This is a better case for Iowa. You're in a better spot.
Well,
today.
Yeah.
You're in a better spot
this
today
is
than
a,
you were Monday.
This, bottom line, this is a good thing. We can bitch about whether or not Iowa did it the right way. Whether or not Deacon Hill should have been thrown into the portal in the wintertime, whether they should have hired an offensive coordinator sooner, they should have. But at this point in time, this was the move that needed to be made. It is a net positive. Now you have an opportunity. You get that out, okay? So fans aren't worried about Deacon Hill starting games anymore. Now is your opportunity to bring somebody in that can be an actual Big Ten caliber backup to Cade McNamara. And then you hope that Cade McNamara gets back and stays healthy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you hope that this Lester is all these motions, like, that it really enhances the offense. Cheers to the freaking weekend with our friends from Steeple Ridge Bourbon.
Staple Ridge Bourbon.
We are heading to Van Winkle. Aiden Wyatt and I are heading to the Zach Bryan concert tonight at Iowa Events Center. Cheers to that.
I'm just sitting around here sipping whiskey.
It's the quitting time tour.
Tickets still available. HyVTix.com.
There's still some of it. So tomorrow's sold out, right? Tonight there's just a few available.
Yeah, there's some tickets for tonight if you want to get in.
So this is the one hassle where we have listeners that are going to sit with us.
Really? Do you know who it is? Is it Circle Heart?
I don't know who they are. No.
I think we picked, what, 4 winners?
Yeah.
They get to bring a friend?
I don't know who these people are. So... Matt, you're going to have to be my cocoon because, you know, I'm very shy. I'm very...
Yeah, right.
Especially when I've had me a little bit of that Steeple Ridge, baby.
You're going to sneak some Steeple Ridge into Wells Fargo.
Somewhere in the orange. we got that coming up tonight. Hey, Maddie Van Winks, did you get me set up with Ryan Bingham for the CW pod?
We're working on it.
That'll be
great. Spring Revelry's coming up next weekend, next Saturday at the Memorial Bloomfield in Indianola. I think I'm going to go. I just was texting Aiden. I think we're going to meet up.
Really? I got too much redneck going on. I got my racing down in Kansas. Hassel, did you get your flight booked to Kansas City?
No. When is that again?
Next weekend.
That's next weekend?
I got garage passes. You want to go down to the garage with me?
The garage? G-R-O-D-A-G-E?
Yeah, I can go anywhere.
Garage?
I got some connections at... NASCAR. I'm gonna watch qualifying on pit road. It's gonna be amazing.
I was talking to your wife yesterday, and she said, "Yeah, I think Chris is just going down by himself."
Yep.
So is MJ gonna be there?
Yeah, he'll be there. Me and MJ. I can just walk right up to him if I want.
Wow.
Actually, John Miller is gonna come and hang out with me on Saturday. Can you imagine that hippie at a NASCAR
John
race?
John Miller is coming in on Saturday. So when you get with John Miller, do you get high with him?
It's more of like you just watch. I prefer alcohol.
That's how I am too. Like, yeah. I don't like.
When I'm in a NASCAR race, I'm not going to get high.
Like, I feel like no, I don't have much control. Like the highness just takes over and takes you wherever it wants to take you.
I'll drink the Busch Light at the NASCAR race. That's where I'm going to. I will bring some Steeple Ridge, though, for nighttime. You know, sitting around the campfire, watching dirt racing on the TV.
I'm just sitting around here watching NASCARs.
One of the best
Turn
weekends.
Left.
In drive. One of the best weekends I ever spent was at the Kansas Speedway. In college, there was a music festival down there called Can Roxas. Amazing lineup. Eminem headlined with Muse.
Wow.
That's dope.
Great show.
Yeah, so like it's gonna be cool though. I got the infield camping spot. Garage passes all weekend. You're just gonna
be by yourself all week until Miller joins up on Saturday.
Pretty much, yeah. Miller's just gonna come for the day. He's not like staying at the camper or anything like that. So I just don't have any friends that like that stuff. And my uncle died, you know, and he used to do all that stuff with me. So it's kind of like, I just kind of go to these things alone. It's kind of depressing, to be honest with you.
Well,
that's why I invited you and you didn't want to come. You got the big Formula One race down there next weekend in Miami.
It's back again?
Yeah, next weekend.
Jeez, feels like we just had that.
Well, you have it once a year, my friend, every May.
Every year they're coming back?
Yeah. They have like a 10-year contract with y'all.
Oh, boy.
Let's do Iowa State. So they get Joshua Jefferson in the portal from St. Mary's. This is a potential starter. This is a big deal, getting this kid at the four spot. 6'9". He's like 240, I heard, is what he's actually weighing in at. He's listed at 220. He's a bigger dude. They're loaded, man. So they ended up bringing back Caden Fish, who was a redshirt last year, to take up that 13th scholarship. This is arguably, I mean, and you could put 2,000 in there, definitely have the conversation with Tinsley and Pfizer and them. But this might be the most talented roster in Iowa State history on paper. And going to get a great non-conference. They have Marquette in the Big East thing. Marquette coming to Hilton Coliseum. Iowa State is in the Maui Invitational next year. Matt, can you pull up that Maui field? Real quick, it's crazy how loaded that field is. It's like UConn, North Carolina, Dayton.
It's crazy what a difference a year makes in non-conference scheduling.
You're looking at Iowa State, men's and women's, will both be in the preseason top 10. I think the men will definitely be in the top 5. So the hype machine is starting.
Every
maybe.
Way too early preseason poll I'm seeing has Iowa State top 5. Most of them have Iowa State top 3. Torvik, who a lot of the, you know, the real hardcore college basketball people swear by Torvik, Bar Torvik, and they have Iowa State number 1. So I see a tweet a couple nights ago from Bloom, and he tweets the Amish bench, and he's like, oh, it's just been a real challenging time in the portal, but cheers to what's ahead. Appreciate y'all. Like, what is he all down about? It's going to be a top 3 team in the country. What's he upset about? He went out and got a bunch of great portal guys.
You got Auburn, Colorado, Dayton, Iowa State, Memphis, Michigan State, North Carolina, and UConn.
So I was originally upset with the Big East schedule because I was hoping Iowa State would play UConn, but maybe this is one of the reasons they shied away from that matchup because they're in Maui together.
Yeah, and isn't UConn like going to be? You would know. I haven't really looked at these preseason. Don't they lose a lot? Like they shouldn't
but it's
be.
UConn, man. They were ranked 7th in the preseason poll this year, and there weren't many people picking them to do much.
That's a loaded field.
So let me ask you this. They lose out on the guy from Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
in the portal.
Yeah, Iowa so State that's does. Javon Hadley. I don't know.
So who did they get in place of him?
So it was basically they had two spots, okay, and they had three guys who they were looking at. It was Hadley from Colorado. It was Jefferson. And then it was William Kyle, who ended up committing to UCLA yesterday. So William Kyle was the dude for South Dakota State who dunked all over him. He had like 24 points in the NCAA tournament game against Iowa State, the big kid. Mm-hmm. And so they, Hadley, from what I understand, was basically like a silent commit. He had committed. He wanted to wait until after the Final Four to make his announcement. And within that time, he got some big NIL offers that Iowa State just didn't either didn't want to or couldn't compete with. I'm guessing they were like, no. Because the thing, I've explained this before, but the thing a lot of people don't realize, it's like if you tell like this transfer who averages 10 points a game from Colorado, oh, we'll pay you five times more than Taman Lipsey, like that creates locker room problems. So Iowa State was out on him. And at that point, they basically, I think, from what I understand, they went all in on this Jefferson. They wanted them both to begin with, but they went all in on Jefferson. And then on this 13th one, I think that TJ made a strategic roster move to that 13 scholarships realistically is too many. You don't need 13 guys to play in 1 year. And we're going to keep a developmental guy who's a really good culture guy who we think could be really good down the road, and Caden Fish, as opposed to bringing in two more dudes who both are going to want to play 30 minutes per game, who we're going to have to spend more money on. I think that after that Hadley deal happened, they made a strategic decision to just take Jefferson and then keep Caden Fish and then let William Kyle go off and do whatever he was going to do. That's what I think happened. Does that make sense?
That does, because, I mean, how many guys do you need, right? How
Correct.
Many dudes do you need? You need eight. You don't need 12.
And if you look at what's made the Otzelberger era work, it's the sum of the parts. They haven't really had superstars.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's all about how they work together.
Yeah.
Chemistry on the team.
I think that they saw what happened with that Hadley deal and they rethought the whole thing and said, this is the kid we really want now is Jefferson. And then we'll make a strategic call with the 13th guy.
The thing that just really pisses me off as an Iowa fan is every single one of these guys that Iowa State gets in the portal, it's like you're reading blurbs about them and it's like, it's always there. Tenacious defender. It's always right there.
It's the only people they recruit. If you don't play defense, you won't play there.
And Iowa just refuses to do that. Now, Iowa does have a kid who visited reportedly yesterday. A lot of the outlets are reporting he was in town yesterday. The transfer from UMass that we talked about on Monday. And look, he would be a good get. He would. Like, he would be a good fit for Iowa, but he's not a great defender. Like, he plays hard. Now, I talked to one of his former a guy that recruited him out of college, who really likes him, says he's really talented, plays hard as hell, but to a fault at times.
Mm.
I do like the sound that he plays hard as hell all the time. Like, that's because they need that on the defensive end.
And that bleeds into other guys too, if they see one guy.
Too many times
it.
They just have people that just do not do anything defensively. But I just, you know, I don't think he's a, maybe he's a good defender on Iowa, because that's, it's all relative, but I wish they would go after somebody that was an action, like that was one of his attributes. Great defender. They are also recruiting this transfer from Duke, who was a five-star, and I don't think that they can get this kid, because look, you're a five-star a year ago. You can get money somewhere, and Iowa is not one of those places. But TJ Power is his name. He was a top 20 recruit in the country. Didn't really see the floor for Duke. I think he averaged 2.7 minutes a game.
Kind of like Omaha Ballou, to be honest. His profile sounds a lot like him. He's going to Wake Forest.
Iowa originally offered this TJ Power And he actually visited Iowa. It was one of five schools he visited. So he must like something about Iowa. Probably likes the way they develop guys like that. He's 6'9". He can shoot the three. Another guy that they've looked at, and obviously it would be a huge get to get somebody that talented, but I don't see it happening. It sounds like the guy from UMass is going to be it's going to be between Iowa and Wisconsin. And I didn't say his name today. I don't think it's Matt Cross. So we'll see.
Do you want to go to Ireland with me? A few years?
I can't believe you had Van Wink make that and put my head on the woman.
That was Matt's choice.
I
play that again.
I
we need to
I'm
do
sorry,
a longer version.
I don't like this. I don't like this Ireland trip.
All right, we'll play Pardon the Interruption here, and I understand your point, but I will debate you, and I think I will win. So you go first.
Okay. Here's why I don't like it. If this was Iowa State versus Georgia, Iowa State versus South Carolina, non-conference game to start the year, okay, you can sell me on that. It's kind of a spectacle that we do these weird, you know, kickoff games. We've always, you know, for the last 50 years, you've seen random kickoff games and odd events, non-conference. But a conference game in Ireland, I know it's been done before. Nebraska and Northwestern did it a couple years ago to start the season. I thought it was dumb then. That's going to be tens of thousands of dollars to do this, right? I mean, you're not going there for $3,000.
I was looking up the ticket packages for the games this year, and they range between like $3,000 and $5,000.
And what does that get you?
But that comes with like some excursions, and it's about a week's worth of traveling. So, hotel,
and then you
got to
think about food and all the other stuff. It's going to be $10,000, I think. Look. I'm looking at this as just a college football fan. What I love about college football is campus environments.
Yeah, we hate neutral
sites. Don't like,
we both do.
I don't like neutral site, especially for a conference game. The thing I don't get is, like, why did Kansas State sign up for this? They're the one losing the home game. Like, Iowa State, at least this was just going to be a trip to Manhattan, Kansas, and now it's an Ireland trip. But for Kansas State, why?
So I'll make a couple of points here. One, from an Iowa State standpoint, Jamie Pollard is always – he's talked openly about this. Like, he's always looking for Cyclone-type vacations. They went to Vegas. They're going to Tulane in New Orleans here in a few years for a non-conference game. They very aggressive basketball as far as booking these trips and stuff for people to go on. So my guess is that when this opportunity arose, Jamie Pollard jumped all over it for that very reason alone. I would make a very, and I don't know if this is right, but from a football standpoint, I just wonder if the Big 12 didn't tell these schools, we want you to take this up. Because for you, it is a prestigious spot to play in that opening weekend and be the featured game. Eyeballs for the Big 12 conference, which, let's face it, in the next 10 years are going to be much more difficult to come by with this Big 10 SEC takeover of the college football play.
Texas,
that would be
and
like
Oklahoma are gone. Who are the premier programs now? Like, because this isn't a sexy game nationally. It's not.
No.
What would the sexiest Big 12 matchup be now?
I mean, is TCU the biggest because they played in the championship? I don't know. Maybe
TCU, Oklahoma State?
Utah?
TCU, Baylor?
Utah?
BYU, Utah?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a regional thing.
Utah's the best program. Like, they're the top-ranked program if you had to rank these things out. I mean, I still think TCU's got to be in the conversation with...
There's no doubt. But it's not Iowa State or Kansas State.
No.
So why would the Big 12
Kansas
want
State's
those
closer.
Two teams?
I don't know, but I'm just wondering if I'm Brett Yormark, like, yeah, I want Big 12 teams playing in this week zero game.
You know what I would want if I'm Brett Yormark? I would want Deion Sanders against somebody.
Good point.
Maybe the other teams wouldn't agree to it, and so it came down to these teams. Now, this isn't fair. Kansas State's losing a home game. It's got to go back the other way, right? Like, Iowa State's going to have to give up something, right? Some year? Are they going to lose a home game the following year? How can you expect one team to agree to this, to lose a home game? There has to be something to make everybody whole.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but I'm putting myself in Brett Yormark's seat, and a lot of the stuff this guy's doing, like, on the surface, I'm like, oh, that's stupid. Why are they going to play basketball games in Mexico? But, like, they're getting paid.
Big 12 Ireland.
I would also guess, guys, and I don't know this for sure, but I would guess that the conference or the schools probably get a decent payout for this just because it is a sponsored game and there's packages involved.
It's kind of like a bowl game.
Right, right.
In a weird way. He is right there. But again, like, I look, there's a great piece. I tweeted it on, or 2 days ago, Tuesday, I think, that Ross Dillinger did from Yahoo, just on the current state of, like, college football. And after reading that last night, it was one of the last things I did yesterday. And it was kind of like, yeah, I understand this more. Just trying to get people to pay attention to a league that's not the SEC or the Big Ten.
Look, get it for the Big 12. I get it. I know. I think if I'm the Big 12, I would rather have, you know, Deion Sanders, but you can't guarantee he's going to be there for a third season. And Colorado's been terrible. So I just, as a college football fan, as, you know, somebody that roots for Iowa State as well, I don't like it. Like, I wouldn't want Iowa to play in Ireland against Northwestern. I don't like it. But
before we
I
go,
understand it.
Van Winkle tweeting about a fox in the neighborhood yesterday.
Van Winkle is just out in his neighborhood just looking for animals to assault.
And you and I both had
that's not true. The fox was looking to assault my dog.
What are you talking about?
The fox
is not going to do anything to your dog. What kind of dog do you have?
It's a miniature golden doodle. She's tiny. She's like,
tell us the story.
Pounds.
So if this fox like showing its teeth to your dog, what happened?
So I'm having coffee in the kitchen, just kind of staring out the window.
Looking for animals to shoot with your BB gun.
And I see this thing walking along the fence in my neighbor's yard.
It's got his magnifying glass in the back, frying bugs with the sun.
So it's in the neighbor's yard, and I look, and I thought it was a dog that was just loose, but no, this is the fox. It's got the long tail. You can see it in the corner there.
Yeah, long, fat tail.
So it gets to the corner of the fence on my neighbor's yard, and my dog is in the backyard.
Time out. Is this the same neighbor's dog that bit you?
No.
Okay.
No. So Sophie's in the backyard. And I see this fox, and I open the door, and I say, Sophie, get inside. And this fox, I kid you not, jumps 6 feet in the air above the fence.
What?
Hops into my yard.
No way.
Walks along the side of the fence. Yeah, this is before the fox came in the yard. And Sophie just chased after this thing. She was not scared of it. And she just chased it out of the yard, and it hopped back over the fence right there.
Well, a fox isn't a wolf, okay? It's not going to, like, I've never heard of a fox attacking and eating a dog.
Ooh, really? I think they do.
It's a fox. Fox, come on.
They're looking, I know, they're probably looking for more like rabbits and squirrels.
What does a fox weigh? 25 pounds, maybe?
Dirks would whoop that fox's ass. Dirks would swallow it whole.
It was bigger. It was bigger than this picture shows. This tail makes it look a little bit longer.
Did
too,
you call animal control to get it killed?
I did not, but the neighbors were out and saw it too. And this was about the time kids were walking.
And, you know,
to school,
they were probably
well,
like,
"Oh,
so. That's a cute fox." I see foxes in my neighborhood all the time. I think it's great.
Have they ever tried to murder your dog?
No. Foxes don't eat dogs.
Somebody needs to Google that. Do foxes eat dogs?
What the fuck?
Google it right now, Van Wink, and just throw it up there on the screen.
If you have a large canine,
hey,
it's not...
just no. I want you to Google it and throw it up on the screen.
Do foxes eat dogs?
Hey, do foxes eat dogs?
Look at this picture. If you have a large canine, it's not going to be attacked by a fox. It's just too dangerous for a fox to take the risk. But small dogs left unattended could easily become a meal for a hungry fox.
And
even if they're in
your
fence. Oh, she's tiny. She's probably 7 pounds.
What do you have, a teacup Yorkie?
A miniature golden doodle. She's probably 10 pounds.
A miniature golden doodle.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to see
fluff ball.
Dirk's shit out of fox.
I don't even think that's a fox in the picture. That looks like a coyote. Now that's a fox on the right.
So I've had friends that like these coyotes will, but you know, back home where the coyotes just pretty much roam. Mm-hmm. You don't leave your dog
back
out at night.
Where the coyotes roam.
Like I've seen dogs like skeletons on their leash because a coyote just came and just ripped them off the bone.
This thing was skinny too. It looked like it was hungry.
What did you just say?
Swear to God, it's awful.
Wait, hang on a second. You have been walking around your hometown. You've seen a dog on a leash that is just a skeleton because a coyote
ate it. Haven't been like walking around. It would be like my buddy called like this one time and I went out to his farm and he had his dog tied up and it got eaten alive by a coyote.
He tied up his dog out in the open?
Sometimes you put your dog on a leash because you don't want it to like run in front of the combine or something like that, right?
Oh,
like
you know. God, that's horrible.
Yeah, it happened to a buddy of mine in Ankeny too, just in like a total like normal residential area, and like these, because a lot of these like is these suburbs move out, we're moving into the habitat of like the coyotes and stuff.
Yeah,
so they're like, it's just like normal for them, and they see a meal. They go right after our dogs. It don't matter. Those coyotes will eat anything. Doesn't matter the size.
I don't know about that. I lived in Connecticut. We had coyotes all over my, because I lived like up against the woods on the side of a mountain. And I was sitting one night in my backyard in the dark with a fire going, and four coyotes walked right up to me and didn't do anything. They didn't do a goddamn thing. They didn't do any. What?
I would have been on the phone with animal control in seconds.
I'm sure you would. I'm sure you would. You know, we had bears, too, and we had a bear that
you just pet him?
No.
Oh, little tiny bear.
There was a bear that was in our yard.
Where's your pretty little bear?
And so we had just moved there, so my wife didn't really know what to do, so she called. There was this, like, number that you call.
Called animal control.
And it was like a bear control. And she called.
The bear hotline.
She's like, there's a bear in my yard. And the person was like, yeah, so?
Shoot it.
What do you want me to do about it? She's like, I don't know. I just thought that I was supposed to call and report a bear. Like, no, bears are everywhere. As long as it's not coming up to you and attacking you, don't call this number.
My favorite small town media story, we used to get these all the time when I was working in Shenandoah. Because, like, you got to understand, like, the type of news we're doing back there is just, it's hilarious. Like it could be like The Onion, but it's real. We always got calls about mountain lions all the time. And they would send us pictures of their mountain lions to put on our website. It was like a huge deal. And everybody hates the mountain lions back there because it kills cattle and they'll do all that type of stuff. And then, so they shoot them, but then they're not supposed to because they're like endangered and all that crap. It's a whole deal back home. So
when I lived in California in San Jose, we kind of lived in like the foothills where there's some mountains kind of nearby. And the problem there was wild boars.
Oh yeah, no kidding. Javelinas.
Those are bad.
Yeah.
Those javelinas. I took a trip down to Arizona one time, like Sedona area. And the people down there, they're like, yeah, I mean, you shouldn't be worried about a rattlesnake or anything like that. The thing that's going to get you are those javelinas. Look out for
them. So like if people are like, that's one of the best ways to hide the human remains.
Just give them to the pigs. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pigs will just eat everything. Happens all the time.
my neighbor just posted another picture of the fox in our neighborhood.
God,
that thing looks
so
mangy. That thing's ready to kill.
What would happen if you just got out of your house and just ran at it and screamed? Ah! Get shoo, scat, scat.
That fox is just going around looking in garbage cans. It's not harming anything. It might get a bunny.
You still got that gun your uncle gave you, you asshole?
He didn't give it to me. I just shot it.
Might need to borrow it.
Too bad my uncle's dead.
That's the second time you brought up your
He'd
dead
shoot
uncle.
That thing in a heartbeat.
Is this your mom's brother or your dad's brother?
Dad's brother.
Okay. So he didn't like cocks?
No, he was a hawk. He was like the most stereotypical tavern hawk on the planet.
Like my dad?
Yes. And he was awful to Iowa State. He was a total dick to opposing fans when they came into Kinnick Stadium. He'd just get drunk going to these games. Like, I remember watching him at the Vine on Friday nights. Him and his buddy Eugene. Eugene might be watching. Hey, Eugene. And then, like, he hated Iowa State. He hated Nebraska. He had no ties to the university. Just a hawk. Tavern hawk. Mm-hmm. Just like you.
I'm not a tavern hawk.
No, you're a St. Ambrose guy. What's this last thing on the rundown here? You made a donation to St. Ambrose? So you're now a booster. You're a St. Ambrose booster?
I never thought I would do it. But
do the bees have a collective?
I don't think so. But I got PJ, who he worked at St. Ambrose when I was there, so I know him from then, and he's kind of kept in touch over Twitter over the years. He said that the other day was like this day of giving, and they wanted 1,100 people. I don't know what the significance was, but they wanted 1,100 people to give. And
that's
so
nice.
I never thought I would do it because I've always been of the thought that I paid so much damn money to go there. Why am I going to give more? But I didn't realize like I can direct it to where I want it to go. Like
so when you're talking to the dorm room for the kids who have to live with the priests.
Yes. So I can send it directly to the kids that live on the floor with the priests.
Can you
I didn't
go and
send it to them.
Buy them guns?
I sent it to the TV department. They're looking for some new cameras. But see, now I'm worried. Now that I've done, like all these years, I've been, nope. Even one time, one guy came, visited me at ESPN. One of the financial aid guys, or whatever they're called. The guys that want money from you.
What Bloom used to do.
What he still does but now he's doing it for teenagers.
Yeah.
He came and visited me, and I didn't want to set the precedent. But now I'm worried that like, oh God, he gave some money.
You're in their system now.
I'm going to hit him up every month.
And you're probably like the most famous St. Ambrose alum.
I doubt that.
Other than St. Ambrose.
He didn't actually go to St. Ambrose. I don't think, PJ is not going to, he's not the guy looking to raise money. He was just sending that to me and wondered if I wanted to be a part of it. So I'm a part of it now. I am a St. Ambrose donor.
One of those big boosters.
I feel like
you,
I've.
You should
I've
make a call.
A new level.
Get like the, put some heat on like the volleyball coach or something. Be like, listen, I'm a booster now. This is unacceptable. This is unacceptable to not even be 500 in this conference.
Yes, I. They've changed conferences so much. I can't even tell you what they were in like a different conference in every sport.
Well, they were part of the Leech Mummy Conference back in the day.
You know where this money might end up going, where I should have done. I should have said, take this money, throw it all at Deacon Hill. Let's bring him to Davenport. Watch him toss it around Brady Street Stadium.
Wouldn't that be something?
I gave $110 bucks. Would that be enough, you think?
Wouldn't that be a turn of events? It's more than he's going to make elsewhere. I truly don't think he'll end up D1, but we'll see.
Well, St. Ambrose is NAIA.
I don't even think they can do that, NAIA. Do they even have scholarships?
Yes, NAIA does. That's the difference between NAIA and Division III. Division III is no scholarship. NAIA, there are partial scholarships for athletics.
Hmm. All right. Well, let's get out of here. It's Hassel's got to get to work. Cheers to the weekend. NFL draft tonight. Hope you all enjoy it. We'll be back on Monday.
Iowa everywhere.